we're off to the races.
Yay.
So we had a whole, like, just regular conversation that would have been perfect for, like, this stuff.
Yeah, but I was setting stuff up and having to, like, delete things and everything. So it's gone. You'll never know what we talked about.
Yeah, but it does put it into perspective of, like, we just talk about shit, like, even if we weren't doing this podcast.
Yes, that's what conversations are. When you have a friend and you meet up with them, you talk about things. That's what friends do.
But I like that we keep it real in the sense that, like, I just realized, like, oh, that could have been on the podcast, but we didn't. It's just our normal, like, this is actually,
we're not showmen is what you're saying. We don't put on an act for this podcast.
Like I think
what we say, we're ground level. We're men of the people.
Men of the people.
Yeah, right. Like we're the common folk. We're an everyman. We have regular conversations. We don't just put on a show and get angry or enthusiastic just because other people. Oh shit!
Oh shit! What the fuck was that?
My phone.
Okay, I thought it was like a cup of water or something.
Yeah, no.
Oh shit! We're professional men of the people.
Oh. It's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with
Harvey Z in the place to be.
And I forgot part of the intro, but that's okay. We're just going to keep going because we're professional. Men of the people.
This is horrible. This is still the intro.
Oh, jeez. So I had a plan for Harvey Z Snaps, but it's really, really like putting the screws to you, and I'm not sure I want to do that.
I don't mind.
Okay, so Harvey Z Snaps, I give Harvey Z two things, and he has to snap one of them out of existence, and they're just gone forever, and that's it. It's just like Thanos.
Yes.
So your choice this week is Fire Emblem or XCOM?
You've learned. This is so the whole series, because you mentioned it in such a way.
Yes, yeah. The series.
Because, like, I don't really care about Fire Emblem's prior series. Like, I played one of the prior emblems. But, like, I am currently...
Prior emblems, actually. I got that.
I'm currently in the Three Kingdoms, I believe.
Is that your phone?
I activated Siri somehow. Yes.
You're still fucking professional.
It's like, there's beeping going on.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, sorry.
So, Fire Emblem, I am knee-deep, waist-deep in, like, the Switch version right now. The Three Kingdoms, I believe?
Three Houses. I love how you're obsessed with this and still don't know its title.
Because, I mean, why would I? It's just always on the save screen. I never have to load it.
That's true.
So, yeah. XCOM, though, I've played so many versions and so many. Oh, this is a good, like, this is, because I was like, ah, how bad could it be? You're learning. These are some good choices. Because, like, overall entertainment, XCOM has given me days, weeks of entertainment.
And could give you more if there's
and
another
will.
Game.
I assume
yeah.
there's going to be XCOM 3 or...
I hope so. I think it sold well enough.
Fire Emblem, I really like this game.
And you're currently playing it is the thing. So if you snap it out of existence, you
oh,
don't
I can't
get to
wait
finish
to snap?
It. No, this is...
I don't have to snap today.
Yeah.
I was going to like snap it in like, give me a month or two.
No, you snap it right now. That's why I did it now, before you finished it.
Oh, that makes it so much worse. Damn it. Like, that's... Because I was like, I'll just delay. I'll wait, and then I'll probably snap Fire Emblem out.
No,
because...
no. You have to make the choice right now. I'm going to go to your place and smash your Switch Lite if you...
Wait, the Switch Lite? You just... I can give you the disc itself.
Yeah. No, okay, fine.
But, oh my God. This is the first for... You bastard. You horrible, horrible person. Because, like, again, logically, because I'm a man of reason, I have to destroy Fire Emblem because the XCOM franchise... Well, I'll have remembered the games.
Yes.
So I'm actually killing the potential for a future game
yes.
of XCOM 3 Well, Fire Emblem, it's a here and now. This is like, I feel like a trolley problem or like a whole, like, do you go for the bird in the hand or the one in the bush?
I'm not sure which is which in that scenario.
Fire Emblem is in the hand. I already have it. I'm playing it.
Uh-huh.
The bush, it's the potential future, is the XCOM 3.
I've never understood that phrase. Like, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. Because you already have it.
You killed one bird, or you've captured one bird, if we want to be nice about it, and you have, like, a rock, and you're going to chuck it into the bush to try to get two more?
You can't... Have you ever taken out two birds with one stone? Wait.
With that phrase, yes, I have. That phrase would indicate, yes, yes, I have.
God damn it. Okay, go ahead. Never mind. I'm losing this one.
I think... So this also, like... So I'm getting way too deep into this question where I'm like, philosophically, where am I in life? Am I content with what I have right now, or am I searching for something that unknown, or is Fire Emblem
that enemy unknown?
Within. Like, it's now my brain is saying, no, I have to destroy the future XCOM. But the problem is I also destroy this. I can't go back and play my old games.
No, that's correct. And you never beat War of the Chosen either.
I mean, oh, yeah, I haven't. Because you said that, actually, it is two. It's one in the hand and one in the bush right now, because there is a game that's still unplayed, or unfinished, I should say. But I really want to play Fire Emblem more. God damn it. Again, I'm still here away from Fire Emblem. Because of you people.
Have you been getting more sleep? Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Let's finish this. Harvey Z's problems in life. We'll get rid of Fire Emblem. Now I'm depressed and unhappy in this world of mine. Thanos looking out over his kingdom and what he's done.
What did it cost? Everything.
Everything.
But now XCOM is safe. And who knows, maybe an XCOM 3 announcement is on the horizon. I did the math. Like, I posted about this on Twitter. Like, it's been about three years between the XCOM reboot and then XCOM 2 coming out. And it's coming up on 3 years between XCOM 2 coming out and, like, current time. And it's getting close to 4, actually. I think it's been about... Because it came out February 2016. Yeah, February 2016 is when XCOM 2 came out. So we're getting close to 4 years. So XCOM 3 should be on the horizon.
I feel like I made the good choice here, because if I chose the other way, then you telling me this, I would be like... horrified. No! No! I destroyed the thing that I love.
Okay. Well, there's some news that we can talk about if there's time for it. It's not like essential news. Nothing mind-blowing happened this week. But I do have news to talk about. The two big things is we were at the Overwatch Grand Finals past Sunday. And we're going to definitely talk about that. Because... this was first time for both of us watching esports live. And also, I watched a lot of the Overwatch League on, like, Twitch at home. Harvey was, like, only socially watched it with me, right?
I watched, like, a couple of the... Our team is the Justice.
Yeah.
I saw them, like, way in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, in the GOATS era, I suppose. And then after that, like, I did... No, I don't know if I watched their first win. You told me about their first win.
Yeah.
I watched a couple games and they didn't win each time, but I was rooting for them.
Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah.
Okay. But before we get to that, let's do a Fire Emblem update.
Oh. Oh. Yeah.
Like, I am curious. Like, how's the addiction going? Have you managed to start going to sleep at a reasonable hour?
So the problem has been is that real life has been catching up. Uh-huh. So, like, I've been doing other things. Like, I know we had this discussion
last
week.
Like your laundry?
I did it once. It's piled up again. Like, actually, I'm in no different of a situation than last week in that laundry has not been done again.
How often do you have to do your laundry usually?
I like to do it like once a week. Twice a week would be probably better for me rather than one giant load. But like...
Interesting.
Do you do... Wait, what's your laundry habits? You make it sound like...
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So like I have... My laundry habits are usually I do it once every 2 weeks.
Oh.
And I do like, it usually ends up being around 3 or 4 loads, but it's like I do it while I'm doing things around the house. So like I fill up my laundry basket, mm-hmm. and once it's full, which is about after 2 weeks, then I do my laundry, and then I have enough clothes that I can make it through 2 weeks without having any problems. But if I wait any longer, then I start to hit a point of problem area.
I have this same problem where I have 2 weeks of like dress clothes, mm-hmm. and so I have to do it by 2 weeks. But actually, the main key thing is underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Like I only have like 2 weeks of underwear.
I have plenty of extra underwear.
So yeah, so like for me, it's at some point if I'm running low on the underwear, that has to be done. Socks, t-shirts, all of that stuff, I'm fine. And again, it's mostly dress shirts because if I'm done for the day, I'll just walk around naked and we're fine. Like so.
Oh God, no.
So it's
don't
only
talk
dress,
about
it's,
that. Please.
It's work clothes. Is all I need to deal with. The weekends, okay, that's two casual pairs or two casual outfits.
This is why you like living solo, huh?
It's fantastic.
Cut
well,
down
I should
on the
say,
laundry.
Not just purely naked, because, I mean, I'm not just, like, rubbing my butt against everything. I wear underwear. And so, again, the only rate-limiting factor is underwear.
Okay.
That's about it. Like, I mean, I have no further opinions on that. I don't think that's weird. Don't at me. Like, you would do it, too, probably.
Probably. But, like, yeah, no, I have enough underwear that will... It will last me more than 2 weeks. My finite limit is usually the work clothes. Like, mm-hmm. I run out of work clothes at 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And socks start running low, I think.
I just start mismatching my socks and hope no one notices.
God, like, I cannot mismatch socks. Like, that is not a thing. I don't know if it's OCD or uh-huh. whatever, but if I cannot go out with socks that aren't the same type.
But the easy solution... is you buy all socks of the same color or type, and you're okay.
That's but true.
I wear all black socks, and as long as I don't mix it with, like, the two brown socks, I'm okay with, like, just throwing them on. Now, their lengths are different, but who's
okay,
going to know?
Somehow we ended up talking about Fire Emblem, or laundry instead of Fire Emblem.
Laundry cast.
This is not a video games and laundry podcast. This is
a help me fix my life.
Okay, well, so real life has been intruding on your Fire
real
Emblem
real life
time.
Has been intruding on my Fire Emblem. So I would ideally like to play Fire Emblem 5+ hours a day. I cannot do so.
Okay, that's reasonable, though. Like, what I'm saying is 5 hours of gaming time as an adult, that is like
a lot.
That's like nirvana. That is like I got home from work and I didn't have anything else to do. I had nothing else on my agenda.
Like it's the dream at this point. And I would like to do that every day, but real life has cut into
it. There isn't every day is not a
what thing. I'm actually ending up doing is like 2 to 3 hours, maybe at best. Really like 2 hours. If it's less than 2 hours, I don't even bother sometimes.
For a game like Fire Emblem, that is kind of true. Like, playing that for, like, half an hour, you barely get going.
Yeah.
Like, there are games that I can play where I play it for half an hour and I'm good. You know, like the Slay the Spire game, Link's Awakening that I've been playing on the Switch, the bite-sized games where you can get enough accomplished in a short period of time that you feel like you've done something while playing the game. Well, Fire Emblem, half an hour is like one trip around the monastery.
Yes, that's exactly what it's the issue is. Like, I want to, like, in Fire Emblem, I must spend enough time to complete like a week. So that includes like exploring the monastery and then maybe teaching my students and then maybe a battle at the end. Usually I save the battle for like the last thing because it actually goes now quicker, and then I end it and put it away.
So how far are you at this point?
I've changed hair colors.
Ah, yes. Okay, yes. I know where that. I know.
You know where
know
the
what
hair color changes.
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of like 5 hours ago, so last Saturday though, prior to us going to Overwatch, the League Champ, I was able to game just an orgy of a day of gaming. I woke up and I just gamed to the point of where like you wake up almost from like a what have I done, and you look down in horror kind
of
thing.
Did you get food?
At some point, I had to, yes. That was so what I did was I made breakfast at home, like a brunch, actually, I should say, because then I didn't get food until like dinner time.
Uh-huh.
And like I went outside because I actually felt like I needed to go outside after that much gaming.
That happens. The story I always like to tell, I don't remember when this was, if it was like summer between colleges or the period of time I was unemployed, but I was living at my parents' house, and I got up in the morning, I sat down at my computer, started up my game of Fallout 2, which I had been playing at the time, and then next thing I knew, it was like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. Like, I hadn't really moved. I may have gotten something to eat, but I definitely don't remember getting up.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just played the game all day.
How did you feel afterwards?
That was, like, I was honestly like, I need to step away from this game for a bit. It was fun. It definitely absorbed me and drew me in. But at the same time, it was like, I don't know if I want this to happen every time I play a game.
Like, it was because that point, it was like 6 or 7 o'clock. I went and got dinner. And then I'm like, what did I accomplish today? Like, I enjoyed the game a lot while I'm playing Fire Emblem. It's fantastic. But when I'm away from it, I'm just like looking down in horror at like, what have I done? I need to do other stuff. I know tomorrow we're doing like the Philly stuff we're going up to Philly. So I was like, I need to prepare for all this, do laundry, that stuff. And then I came home and I was like, all right, I played like almost 10 hours of Fire Emblem because I woke up early. Like I planned for this. I woke up early and just played. And then I was like, all right, I took a little bit of a break.
I can go back to playing again.
I could play a little more Fire Emblem, and, you know, why not? And so I continued playing and forgot about my horror until, like, at the end. And then it was like, all right, well, time for bed. And then the next day we had our stuff.
Yeah. I mean, here's my thing is, again, and I said the same thing last week, doing this, like, once or every now and then, having like a game day, self-care kind of... I don't know if you want to call it self-care. Yeah. Some people might.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the day without any distractions and getting to game.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like, you need that.
Is and it like, healthy? Like, that's the... Well, healthy in the single game. Like, I feel like, oh, if I played a variety of games or I did something, I feel like that would somehow be better. One single game for like 12 plus hours.
If you like a game, I don't see what the difference is if you play a single game over 3 days for 4 hours at a time. You know, like if you're focusing on one game, like that's probably not the example I should use.
I was about to say, this whole conversation feels like relationships, and like that's where I was going.
Yeah.
Don't want to go with that one.
Yeah, no. But I mean, it's fine. I feel like you have enough of a grip on yourself where you're like, I probably shouldn't do that again. Or have you already like planned out your Saturday to do that again?
I mean, I had plans on Sunday. Saturday would be my day to game. I mean, maybe. We don't need to talk about that. Like, what's going on in the world today?
Okay, so you got to the change hair color part.
Yes, just there. That's just where.
But that's where you ended. All right, you're getting the story's getting good then, right?
I think so. I already have some ideas, but I don't even want to guess at what's going to happen. But it's leaning towards something.
Okay, well, you should be good. I'm really interested. You should get to part two.
That's what I'm. And so, I don't know now, or I've forgotten if there's a part three. Don't tell me.
I'm not going to tell you.
But I'm already like, oh man, what if part two's the end, and what if it's like a quick finish? Like at this point. Like, again, I mentioned relationship things. I like tantric gaming. Like, I want part two to be just as long and satisfying as part one has been. Uh-huh. And I hope it is. Like, I need closure. This game is so good at this point. I don't want it to end. And that's my, like, dread at this point is the finish isn't going to be as good as, like, the whole setup and lead.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where it goes.
All right. Well, I'm interested to see how you go. Next week, if you have another marathon gaming, tantric gaming session, we'll see how far you get with that. And we might have some more juicy Fire Emblem spoiler talk, depending on how much you want to talk about at that point.
Alrighty.
So, Overwatch League.
The finals.
So, in case you didn't hear, the San Francisco Shock completely demolished the Vancouver Titans in the finals.
Spoilers.
I mean, it's sports games.
That's true.
Like this, it's not like I'm spoiling the end of a movie. I don't feel like I have to say, like, oh shit, you know, the Redskins lost to the Patriots.
Yeah, it's like a live event.
Yeah. I understand maybe not spoiling like something like the Super Bowl if someone's like, I taped it and I'm watching it at midnight because I had to work or nope. Something stupid like that.
Nope.
But spoil even it. Then, yeah, you know. Anyway, yeah, so everyone going into the game, these were the two best teams everyone had pretty much said for most of the season that these were the two best teams. And their previous matchups, they had all gone like the distance. Like the first one was 4-3, and then I think the second matchup was 4-2. Those were like the stage finals. The first one, the Titans won. The second one, the Shock won. They were close matchups in the actual regular season. And then Shock just came in and walked over the Titans. Like, there were a couple close maps, and the Titans were still good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the Shock were just operating on, like, another level.
Did you go back and watch it a second time?
I have not watched it a second time.
I did watch it a second time, so now I can, like, appreciate, holy shit, how... I mean, in that moment, like, watching it live, I was like, this seems pretty good. Mm-hmm. But, like, watching it with, like, the commentary and seeing it full on, I was like, oh, okay. They're just... It seemed closer, actually, in person. Watching it live, or watching it, like, on Twitch or whatever, YouTube, the playback, I was like, no, this is just a beatdown, actually. But in person, it seemed more dramatic and more...
because the audience was going back and forth with...
The crowd played a role into it, yeah. Because we were near some Vancouver fans.
Yeah, yeah. So it was interesting. So, like, we got nosebleed tickets.
Nosebleediest.
Yeah, yeah. We were literally in the farthest back row you could possibly get at the arena. And then, like, about 20 minutes before the game started, this guy came by and was like, hey, you want free club seats?
And it was like, what's the catch? Like, whoa.
Yeah, what's the catch? And sure, we'll take them.
He was giving it out to tons of people.
Yeah, there was like 10 or 12 people in our section that got these tickets. And so we go to the club section and we figure out why they were giving them out. We're like sideways with the stage. We're like, we can still see what's going on. But it's a very, like, awkward angle.
We're the closest, like, club seats to the actual, like, stage itself, basically.
We went from, like, seeing the stage head on. Like, we were not perfect center, but, like, to the right of center, not too bad. So we could see everything just really high up in the nosebleeds to really close to the stage, but on, like, the far right side, like, right at the edge. Like, there weren't any other seats beyond us to the right. Like,
yeah,
we were as far close to the stage as they could get from, like, a viewing angle perspective.
It was actually, though, pretty freaking sweet, yeah, I will say.
Yeah, like, I don't get club seats at all. Like, I think the only other time I've gotten to go to, like, some sort of, like, club area is I went to a baseball game because my company was giving away, like, free tickets to, like, a VIP thing. And so I got to be at the club section of a baseball game with, like, the personal service. And
oh, they actually gave you good seats.
Yeah, good seats. For the company
games.
Yeah, and so this was similar where, like, we had our own bathroom. We could order food that they would have brought to us, but we had already eaten because we didn't expect to have club service.
It was pretty swanky, actually. We were surrounded by, like, hardcore fans, all, like, eager. It was a cool, like, vibe.
Yeah.
I will say, though, so, like, random side tangent as the casual person, going to the bathroom. So I've been to, like, sports games, stuff like that, and you usually have, like, bros talking about, like, how the game is going, and they're giving you the stats. I'm like, oh, man, he's pitching this way, and this, oh, no, this guy's totally going to be better. Went to the bathroom, same kind of vibe. Except they were talking about, like, the video games, and it's two bro-y guys, and I'm just, like, listening in the back. I have no fucking idea what they're talking about, because they're super into the stats of, like, oh, man, the DPS is going to be going this way. Nah, the Titans, this is how it's going to be. And I'm just like, all right, I'm in a different environment, but I know this vibe. Great. I'm still a fish out of water here. And like,
that's really cool.
It was weird. Like, I think you probably would have understood the conversation.
Yeah.
But it was just like, they look like they would have been baseball. They look like bros, just plain and simple bros. But now they're talking about video games.
Hey, man, esports is cool. Like, it's not just like, oh, okay. So let me explain what I mean by that. Like there's this kind of stigma where associated the same way with, you know, like nerdy type esports is not real sports. You know, this is a bunch of, you know, guys in glasses with BO and like neck beards, and we're just kind of, but that's not what esports is. Like, you saw the fans, you know, there were a lot of like couples there the same way that
I was surprised. It was a diverse crowd, more diverse than I was expecting. It was a fun vibe. Like, I will say it, like, this kind of won me over to where I'd go to more esports games because of this.
Yeah, like, it was, from my perspective, it was insane. Like, I have watched all the Overwatch League games through, like, Twitch by myself. Maybe I had, like, a friend or two over, and maybe occasionally my girlfriend would be like, who's playing? Like, can you explain to me a little bit of what's going on? And, like, but in general, most of my esportsness has been limited to watching by myself and maybe like talking about it on Twitter or on a message board forum. Mm-hmm. And to go to the arena and just like thunderous cheering when the Shock make like an awesome DPS play, or like when they Vancouver does a run back that they weren't expecting and like last second charge, and like the crowd goes, like,
it
and
gives there was, you context in such a
there
way.
Was like energy, so much energy in the crowd, just like an actual sports game, except it was, I felt like it was even stronger. But maybe that's partially because I've never like connected on a crazy level with like sports games. Like, I will cheer when there's like a home run, or you know, when like a pass goes 80 yards or they return a kickoff or whatever, but I don't get that like primal excitement that like makes people paint their chests and like dance around when the camera's on them. Like, but I felt that at this game, like watching the grand finals, and even though it was like a 4-0, like I felt complete watching it. Like, I didn't feel like I was gypped, like, oh, they didn't even take a map, you know, the Titans didn't put up a fight. Like, it was still a good game to be there for.
And like going back and watching it, it was an exciting series. But I think part of it is also because it happens so quickly, like it's 4 or 5 minute bursts of action and the crowd is going nuts during that action. Baseball games are like 3 to 4 hours of slow paced, and you get like the home runs and stuff. And then you get the pause and you get a couple swings. It's not like bam, 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 home run, home run, home run. But this one, stuff is constantly happening.
Yeah.
And like when I'm at home, or the disappeal of watching it at home is I don't get like, oh, this is a good move or this is not a good move. The commentary is tough to follow and stuff. Here, I was surprised pleasantly. They had commentary. Sometimes it was loud and like hard to hear over the crowd, but the crowd gave you the context right then and there.
Yeah, yeah.
And like we had, so like I picked out like Vancouver fans when they cheer, oh, Vancouver's doing something great. And like when these other fans, the Shock fans are cheering, like it gave me a context in that way, which was cool to have.
Yeah. It also felt like the arena was more tilted towards Shock than Vancouver. Like,
much more so.
There was still like enough cheering where Vancouver had a presence. It wasn't like a home game where there were like five people in the corner cheering when something goes for the away team.
I really also, this is irrelevant unless you were there, the bracelet things.
Oh, yeah.
They gave us light up bracelets, but they didn't light up when you just turned them on. They were actually controlled by like the stadium audience, like the stadium itself. And so like at times when like Vancouver did something, it all lights up in like
the Vancouver
colors.
Yeah.
And so it also gave that little context of like, this is kind of cool to see as well. Like,
yeah, those bracelets were really neat. Like, I don't know if they're like regular at other things or if this was a special event type thing, but like the announcers were like doing giveaways in between rounds, and he like hit a button and then like a bunch of lights turned on the floor, and they went to those people and gave them, you know, swag.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool and interesting to see that sort of like tech.
I would love for this to be the future of, like, sports in general. Like, I would easily, because they said recycle them at the end. If every game had this, like, totally, I would recycle it back and forth. Strap me in every time you, like, have this. Like, I know it's probably just for the league finals, but, like, if every live Overwatch thing had this, I would fucking love it.
Well, so, yeah, the grand finals were great. The offseason has started for Overwatch League. There are already some interesting stuff going on, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. We'll do a roundup when more stuff has happened, because it's just like...
It's too soon.
Yeah, it's a little too soon. But I had a great time. The Shock, I was rooting for the Shock, so...
So that was the other part. They gave me context as a casual person before the show starts. Like, they had a pre-show, they had like 10 minutes of like intro videos and them going around Philly and stuff. And I was like, okay, now I get the context. Like, the Titans have been this supreme team. The Shock have been this underdog. They lost and then they fought their way, and they've actually been undefeated going 4-0 each of... Like, once you give me the story, I'm hooked. That's all I needed.
Well, there was definitely a story, and it was a good ending. I'm a fan of the Shock. They aren't my favorite team, but they're up there. Yeah. They're one of the few, like, I always tend to root for teams that aren't perfect. Like, I have never rooted for the Yankees, the Patriots, you know, those teams that are like dynasties. Shock is probably the closest I'll ever get to like really liking a dynasty team, because the Shock are very good, and I will expect them to be good through like several more seasons of Overwatch if they keep the same players, of course. But yeah, I am looking forward to next year, 2020. They'll be doing homestands, and we're going to almost definitely get to go to Justice games. We're going to figure that out.
I would love to go to live games. I don't know if I've converted to being a full-time, going to watch every game.
But you're down for live games. Yeah. So we're going to go see the Justice when they come here. There's 5 homestands next year, so the chances of us getting to at least one are high. But the tickets for that still haven't gone on sale. Like, there are some teams are on sale already, but others aren't. And I don't know the context as to why some haven't started. I'm guessing something to do with planning for venues and sorting that sort of thing out. But yeah, so Overwatch League ended. San Francisco Shock are your 2019 Overwatch League champions. And yeah, that's it for Overwatch League until next year. We'll have small updates if something interesting in the offseason happens, but February 2020, be on the lookout for Overwatch League's new season.
So February through like basically October.
Yeah. I think it's going to be the same general time frame. Starts in February, ends in September.
Nice.
Okay, so I forgot to give you the hat again.
The cauldron.
Okay, I'm handing him the cauldron. Oh god, my hand, it burns.
The magic, the fire.
So this is the Make Me a Gamer Minute. I've put a bunch of games in a hat. They're on little folded pieces of paper. And they're just games that I've liked from my past that I wouldn't necessarily come up with to talk about. And Harvey Z picks one out of the hat and I talk about it.
And Harvey Z secretly is trying to see if he recognizes the game or the system. I cannot place it. Another unknown to me. Deadly Premonition.
Okay, good. So Deadly Premonition I put in there because when I came up with this idea, the Nintendo Direct had just happened and they had just announced Deadly Premonition 2, which was crazy because no one expected it. So Deadly Premonition is a game that was originally for the Xbox 360. It later came out for PS3 and is now currently on Switch. They relabeled it as Deadly Premonition Origins, but it's on like the Switch eShop, I think for $20, maybe $30. I'm not sure. But it's this weird ass janky game. Like, it is not perfect by any means, but it is full of character. You play as Francis York Morgan, and he is this detective that comes to this town to investigate murders. And it's very Twin Peaks. Everyone in the town is a little off. Like, things are weird. And, like, you're investigating. I think that it's not the Red Hood, because that's Batman. But it's, like, the Raincoat Killer, something like that, is, like, the serial killer who is like, think weird things are happening and he's like killing people and you're trying to figure out who it is.
This is not like Hard Rain is what I'm thinking of.
No, right? It's not Heavy Rain. Okay. It's like goofy. There's like this weird music. Like the characters are offbeat. Francis York Morgan talks to this guy named Zach, like, but you don't know who Zach is. It's like almost like he's talking to himself, but not really. There's a sheriff and a deputy that you're following around.
Is it a side scroller, a top down?
Or? It's kind of open world. It's very like it's 3D.
Oh.
You have your car and you can drive around the town. There's different points of view. And it's very unique in that everyone operates on a schedule. So, like, you can drive around town. And if you want to catch somebody at their shop, you have to get there from 10 to 5 because that's when they're operating the shop. And, like, if you're out at night, weird things start happening. Like, you know, a killer. And there are, like, specific story events that you go to once you've like got enough information to like continue the story. And like the action of the game is kind of like a third person shooter. It's survival horror-esque, like sort of Resident Evil-ish, but not really. And when I say it's janky, like it is not a polished game. The controls are a little weird. It's more of a double A game at best, not a triple A like polished Fire Emblem-y or XCOM-y type game, but not an indie game either. It's like in that middle space where not a lot of games are anymore.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to figure out what's the positive here.
No, it's just it's the characters and the music and like the story, all the interactions, all the people in the town, like it's so charming in this weird way where you don't quite know what's going on with these people. Like some of them are normal, but some of them you can tell something's off with them. But are they off because they're a serial killer or are they just off?
Uh-huh.
You don't know. And it turned into a cult classic.
Uh-huh.
Mostly because of the jank that I've explained, but everyone who's played it has loved it because like you either hear this and you're like, yes, I want to play that. Or you hear this and like, nah, I'm not. And everyone who's like, yes, they will enjoy it. I think it's the closest I've ever seen anything in a video game get to like the Twin Peaks vibe of like strange small town with weird shit going on. And then they announced Deadly Premonition 2 for Switch coming out next year, which took everyone by surprise, but like my entire Twitter feed was going nuts for this because it's a game that it'd be like if they announced Rocky Horror Picture Show 2 and it was like all the original cast and original writers and directors, like it okay. wasn't like not a soulless cash in or anything, but like the original vision behind it, like that sort of like cult classic type thing getting a sequel out of nowhere. Not like the whatever, the Fox remake where they like did like a live musical of Rocky Horror or
okay,
something.
Okay, I was curious where you're going with that wasn't horrible, but yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it was not a reboot.
It was not a reboot. And like using the original guy that did Deadly Premonition is behind it.
Okay.
And like everything it looks to be a continuation of that style and not just someone cashing in on the franchise. So yeah, that's a good game. It's one of those games that's very good, but I don't know if I would ever play it again because of like how it actually plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like playing it through once was so good. I don't know. I highly recommend it if you're into
weird games.
Weird games, yeah. It's not, and I want to be very clear, this isn't a it's so bad, it's good kind of game, because it's not bad, it's just weird. All right, so we've talked about Fire Emblem, we've talked about Overwatch League. I've been playing some games. I know you've only been playing Fire Emblem.
Yep.
There's a little bit of news I wanted to go over. So this one happened a little over a week ago. We didn't talk about it last week because we were going on Harvey Z's wild ride with the Switch Lite.
The extravaganza.
So it's been nearly a year, and one of our favorite games is still the gift that keeps on giving.
Toe Jam and Earl?
No.
Oh.
A collectible Fallout 76 helmet was recalled due to dangerous levels of mold.
I saw this. This was bad on so many levels. Like, I just looked at it. Now, because of this show, I expected nothing less of them.
Yeah, approximately 20,000 units of the helmet were made. 32 were sold through GameStop. I don't know how they got exactly 32. But
if there's a recall, they need to
fucking... Yeah, that's true, I guess. Every recalled helmet sold was defined as the Fallout 1-to-1 Power Armor Nuka-Cola helmet, which has a red-painted finish with white-colored exterior tubing around the sides.
It looks like a gas mask, ironically. Yeah, I mean,
it's the iconic, like, Power Armor helmet that Fallout has had as like a collector's edition wearable helmet, except apparently it's just got like deadly mold inside of it. Or not deadly, but at least causing allergic reactions and like bad shit happening. And it's so ridiculous how apparently there are still people playing Fallout 76 and like making fun, like. And when I say making fun, I literally mean they're making fun in the game.
Yeah.
Like, I saw, apparently somewhere some people in the game were holding a real life trial of a guy who stole stuff. So, like, they were having, like, people meet as, like, a jury in game. So, like, people are creating communities and, like, using this base framework of a game to make their own Fallout experiences, which is fine. But it's all the outside stuff from Bethesda has just been like just a comedy of errors to the point that you're just like, move on. Like, you went from get this out of the news.
It went from like scamming to taking their money to now just outright trying to kill their fans.
They wanted that full, you know, apocalyptic experience, like mold growing inside your helmet.
In a helmet that, when I looked at it, would be like, oh, this would protect me from mold.
No, it's a secret agent. It has the mold inside of it.
The Fallout was within you the whole time.
So another announcement that happened, I'm not sure if you remember these or not, because you didn't play them. Nintendo is bringing back the Brain Age games.
I remember, not Professor Layton, Brain Age, like
it's the... like Professor Kawashima, I believe, was, it was like the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I played it like once or twice with you.
Yeah, like they were on the, I think, the DS, and they were just like these brain training games that you did like simple puzzles, and they got more complex the harder you trained your brain and whatnot, and they were very popular on the DS. And just out of the blue, they're like, yeah, we're making a new Brain Age game for the Switch. And people are excited about that. They haven't announced a U.S. Release yet, but I'm sure it'll come. Yeah. It's coming out December 27th in Japan. So I assume sometime next year we'll see it on the U.S. side. But if you need to train your brain, you have a Switch. You can...
At this point, no.
No?
I have students to train.
Yeah, okay. So that's where you're going to focus your efforts. You got your own school to manage, right?
So, yes. So much.
I'm assuming at some point you're going to want to play another game on your Switch. We'll see how long the love affair with Fire
Emblem lasts. I'm curious to happen if, like, once I beat this game, do I immediately want to play another house and, like, continue?
I'm interested to see. Do you do that?
Because I don't know how different it'll be. If it's different, yes.
Yeah. It will be different. Like, the first half is the same-ish. The part two is the big differences. There's small, minor differences between parts, obviously. Okay, we're not going to talk anymore about Fire Emblem. Yeah. We talked about Fire Emblem a lot last week. We did a little bit more
for the update. I'm trying to restrain myself. Yeah.
But I do want to have like a deep discussion with you about it, since this is the first game you've played in a long time. So this is another announcement, and people have been putting it on the level of horse testicles.
Sadly, for our longtime listeners, you'll get that weird callback. Everyone else will be puzzled.
If you were in the gaming hemisphere, you probably know what I'm talking about when I say horse testicles.
Thank God. That doesn't need to be our meme.
So this actually was just announced, or not announced, but information came out today. Each character in The Last of Us 2 will have a heartbeat.
Okay.
And so the way they're trying to talk about it is like they've made this tech where every character, like both enemies and your character that you play as, have a heartbeat. And so like if a character is wounded, they'll breathe heavier. Or like if they've sprinted a bunch, they'll be, you can hear their heartbeat.
More realistic simulations. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
And a lot of people are like comparing it to the horse testicles because like it sounds like it's like a variable, you know, like if health is less than 50%, play breathing sound, you know, or something like that. Like it doesn't feel like it's a technology that really is needed.
I actually think this is a, like, this is, I'm pro heartbeats, actually.
I mean, I'm pro heartbeats in real life.
Well, I'm thinking in the gamer world, because there's another game that I love that had the heartbeat concept for life bar. Primal Rage.
Oh, yeah. I remember Primal Rage.
Primal Rage had, like, your heart was up at the top, and as your life bar decreased, the heart would beat faster and faster. It, once it got to zero, the heart exploded, and that was it. And you died. But, like, I remember as a kid going, oh, okay, you can kind of see, like, faster heartbeat. Oh, no, you're in danger. What I'm curious, though, is in The Last of Us, how do you measure other people's heartbeats? Like, are you going around, like, checking pulses, or do you have a stethoscope?
I mean, it's a zombie game. So, like, it's an post-apocalyptic thing where you're fighting other, like, bandits and raiders and zombies and stuff.
Are they
like
saying
that,
like, I'll be hiding in like a room or a closet and I put my ear to the door and I hear heartbeats? And
no,
like,
no, that's what I'm saying is like you're not going to be keeping track of heartbeats. The tech is using heartbeat, they're using like heartbeat tech to change how the people act.
Okay.
So like if a character sprints, they will breathe harder because it's the tech checks their heartbeat is going faster.
Okay, here I'm in the side of like they sprint a lot, like if they sprint 50%, just play the heavy breathing sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless there's two usages of this. There needs to be one where it's a normal character and there has to be the surprise where you check their heartbeat or you hear their heartbeat and there is none. Surprise, it's a zombie, you're fucked.
In Last of Us, they're called clickers and they're like weird mutations, so they're not, they, you can't really disguise.
Okay.
The zombies in this game look different than humans, like they have like growths and disgusting mold on them, kind of like they wore Fallout 76 helmet.
I still, that would make that surprise even better, because imagine that chilling realization, he's a zombie and it's just because you discovered no heartbeat. The other one though, I would hope that then some people just have like abnormal heartbeats, because in real life, there are people who have
you, you point your gun at a bandit and he just like keels over because like you gave him a heart attack.
That would be great. Oh, I can use my stethoscope mind to figure out like these people can just die of shock.
Yeah. So instead of like your usual when you like press a button and you see the radar of everyone, instead you're like, oh, that guy has a heart arrhythmia. I'm going to target him. If I just sneak up behind him and go boo, he'll pass out. Yeah, that'll change gameplay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. It'll make it better than the first Last of Us.
Also, like, The Last of Us, that's that motorcycle zombie game, right?
No, that's Days Gone.
God. Okay, because people seem really hyped about this game, and I don't remember the first one. Is it you and a child?
Yes. So like, Last of Us was on the PS3.
Okay.
It was basically the PS3 swan song. It was the last big game that came out for it. And it was made by Naughty Dog, the same people who did Uncharted. And it was basically their take on like a grim, dark, like a more serious apocalypse story. There are some lighter moments, but in general, it's more of like a serious tone than the Uncharted, which is kind of fun adventure, Indiana Jones, you know, exploration. And everyone went banana, ape shit, crazy in love with that game. Like when it came out, it was a revelation. It was the best story anyone had ever seen in video games. People cried. People were just like so obsessed with this game. It cured cancer. It brought their mom back from the dead. It gave them $1 million. They never wanted to play any other video game ever again. I shit you not, there was a thread like 2 weeks after this game came out, where some guy on a message board was like, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to play another video game ever again because of I'm still just caught up with how good Last of Us was. And fucking game is okay. Like, I played the game. It's fine. It's a decent story. It's not like, it's not Jesus. Like, there's no religion that comes from The Last of Us. But, like, now this game is slated to release end of February next year, and people are already going apeshit over it. Like, there was a stupid comparison. Is Ellie a better character than... Or is Ellie a more well-known character than Lara Croft at this point?
No, I know Lark. You always say Lara Croft.
It's Lara Croft. It's not Laura Croft.
It's not Laura.
L-A-R-A. Lara Croft.
In the movies and stuff? Lara?
Lara.
You're destroying my entire, like, worldview.
That's how it's pronounced. I'm sorry, dude.
And I can't be like, well, it's Laura to me, because that's a dick move. Yeah, it's Lara Croft. Miss Croft. Or unless she's Mrs. Miss? Miss?
Miss. I don't think she's ever been married.
Miss. Okay, Miss Croft. Just stick with that.
Yeah.
So, no, Miss Croft is much more famous. Right. I mean, I know Ellie because of The Last of Us, I guess. I remember there being a game that was... All I know of it was creepy vibes because you're a dude who walks around with, like, this little kid. And I know nothing else about the story. I didn't even know there were zombies in the first one.
And I have such a disdain for this because, like, it's a fine game on its own. And I want to be very clear. My hatred for general Last of Us-ness is not for the game itself. It's just for how unreasonably stupid people are when praising it. Like, people... It's like when I was a kid growing up, I absolutely hated Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
What?
Because every fucking person and their mother thought it was the best comedy that had ever graced their eyes when they were 10 years old, and everyone was fucking quoting air-laden swallow weight shit, and your mother smells of elderberries, and fucking all that shit. And, like, I knew the entire movie before I ever even saw it. And at that point, I was like, it's funny, but this isn't, like, this best thing I've ever seen that everyone's made it out to be. And it's the same thing for The Last of Us. Like, it is a fine game. I understand why people think it's a good story. I understand that this was, like, a step in gaming history in that, like, we can do a serious story. But... it is a story that has been done before in every other medium. This wasn't anything unique. This wasn't like some mind-blowing, oh my god, this is the first time I've ever seen an angry dad that is taking a kid somewhere and he finds special meaning in his heart for a kid that's not his own blood. Oh no. Like, okay, I'm calm.
That was a good rant. It's been a while since we've had one of those. And I like to clarify that you specifically said, so, like, the people out there who are upset at the idea that we might not like, or T-Man may not like The Last of Us. No, no, no. He clarified. He doesn't mind the game. It's you he's personally upset at. So fuck you.
You know what?
Don't get defensive about the game. He's attacking you.
I'm going to own it. I'm serious. Just dial it back a little bit. Because, like, okay, last thing I'm going to say. There are still 3 months left in 2019. There are 12 months of 2020. 2020? What are we going to say, by the way? Like, are we going to say 2020, 2020?
20 deuces.
No, we're not saying that.
20 deuces.
Harvey Z. That just sounds like you took 20 shits.
Deuces. Double deuces.
Double deuces. That might be better. But there's also zeros.
Damn it.
If it was year 22, I'd be okay with double deuces. But this is 2020.
The roaring 20s?
They did that already.
Damn.
Anyway, point I'm trying to get to is, after the most recent Last of Us 2 trailer came out, there was multiple people on Twitter, multiple people on other places I visit, who were like, this has to be Game of the Year 2020. Like, I can't see anything else competing with this game for being Game of the Year. Motherfucker, it's fucking February and it's coming out. There's 10 more months of games. We're probably getting brand new fucking systems at the end of 2020. You haven't even played anything in 2020 yet. You haven't played most of the games in 2019 yet. There's still 3 fucking months of that. What's the game of the year for this year? Think about that, motherfucker. Okay, no.
I love it. I'm just enjoying it here off to the side. This is the game of the year for 2020. I saw that one, and it's just... I could imagine. I'm waiting for the parody. Or somebody realistically to go, I just saw this trailer. I can't even play this game now. It's so good. I've given up on trailers. I've given up on games. I'm just walking out into the snow. Goodbye.
Okay. All right. I had more news I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about games, but I think I'm going to... I do have T-Man's Game of the Week. We can do it on that. I will talk about a game. Yes. I, T-Man, will talk about a game I enjoy and not rant about The Last of Us. This is, and also, just so we're clear, this is not going to become a running gag. I am not going to be hating on The Last of Us every chance I get, because I honestly don't care enough about it.
Unless you motherfuckers piss him off. fans.
Yeah.
We don't know. This is you trying to be that guy of like, this won't happen again. Bitch, you don't know people. People are idiots.
That is true. I will admit, people are idiots. Okay, T-Man's Game of the Week. So I started this very interesting game that I'm hoping to get back to playing actually after you leave. You've got your Fire Emblem. I've got this game that I want to get back to because I played it last Friday for a couple hours and then haven't had a chance to play it again since then. So I'm a little... whatever. So it's a game called Observation, and it's a very unique take on kind of... it's a sort of a puzzle adventure game. You play as the AI of a space station, and what happens is the game starts and like you're being rebooted, and there's like shit just went down in the space station. You've lost power. You don't have cameras. You can't tell what's going on in the other sections. But like this one crew member has brought you back to life and has like rebooted you. And you're like, and so you play as the AI. And so what you're doing is you're like switching viewpoints from like cameras mm-hmm. in the space station. And like eventually you get like a mobile drone that you can also switch into and like fly around inside the space station yourself. But the person will be like, she'll say, hey, can you check out this area? It looks like there's a fire. And so you'll go into like your menu and redirect yourself to the cameras in that room and like, oh shit, there's a fire. All right, I need you to turn on the suppression system. And you've got to do this little puzzle where you like link everything up and like do things and turn on the fire suppressant system. And it's cool because you don't get this sort of perspective. Like normally it's like the evil AI or like you're commanding the computer. But in this case, you are the computer. And so you can't do much in like the actual world. Like if switches need to be pulled or like doors need to be you'll watch them do it after you like set things up. Like you unlock the door and they can get it open and then put out the fire, or they need to replace this cartridge. You can't do that because you don't have a physical presence. Mm-hmm. But you can run diagnostics and be like, ah, shit, the crew tracker is offline, so I don't know who else is alive. And like, that's one of the big problems at the beginning. Like you can supposed to be able to track the crew and know where they are at all times, but it's not working. So you're since you're limited this one section with this one crew member, you mm-hmm. don't know, are there other crew people alive? Like what happened to the rest of the space station?
So it serves as a level escalation in a way.
Yeah. Like you, and then you're slowly making your way as more systems get restored. You get like memory cores and like, you can see like your memory start coming back. Like you can find laptops to download files and you'll get like audio files of what was going on before that should have been in your data banks, but because of whatever happened to the space station happened, you lost all your memory files and they're corrupted. So you're slowly restoring yourself.
This is really kind of cool and it has a lot of potential. And I'm curious, what's the overall feel? Like, this could go survival horror. This could go, like, goofy fun.
It feels right now mystery slash horror-esque. Like,
okay.
You're not quite sure what's going on. I'm not going to spoil anything. Like, fairly early on, you get a big twist slash shock, and you kind of have some vague idea that something weird is happening. But in general, it's mostly, like, trying to figure out how did all these systems go wrong, what knocked you offline, restoring the space station, finding the crew members. I wouldn't say it's strong horror, but it is kind of like a, I don't know, sort of Gravity, Interstellar sort of vibe where you're kind of in space, shit has gone wrong, how are we going to fix it? And normally it's like human versus vastness of space. Mm-hmm. And that's like scary because like, oh shit, that's a big space. But you're like the computer and it changes your perspective a lot because you're like, I want to help these people. It's not I'm trying to survive. It's I want to, you know, take care of my crew sort of thing.
You're being helpful.
Yeah.
And then that's where I'm like, there's so much potential with a, can you trust everybody?
Yeah.
Can they like, trust you?
So that's the cool thing. Is like the very first thing that happens is like you get booted up and it asks for a voice recognition. And like the person that the surviving crew member that you know of so far is talking to you and she identifies herself as this person. And then the first thing that comes up is accept or reject. Now I hit accept, but what happens if you reject them? Like, are you not trusting? Do we even know that this person is who she says she is because your system's just rebooted, right?
Yeah.
Maybe she's not
so the person she says she is. So there could be replayability as
well? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so I am intrigued by this. It's also supposed to be a short game. It's supposed to be like 6 to 8 hours. Mm-hmm. It's a nice bite-sized sort of puzzle adventure. A lot of what has to do is just like, very similar to point and click adventure type things where you're like, to fix this system, you need to find this. So what section is this in and can you get it there? Mm-hmm. Or you're like, I found this. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll grab it for you and put it in or something.
What system is this for?
I think it's on PS4, Xbox, and PC right now.
Cool.
I don't think it's on the Switch yet, but I can look into it for you.
Sounds like a fun game, though. It's piqued my curiosity, at least.
Yeah, and also, your problem of, like, first-person shooter thing being behind you...
Yes.
That's not really the case here, because...
You're everywhere.
You're everywhere, yeah. Like, you...
I am the behind.
Yeah, you are... Yeah, you're the thing that is lurking behind people. Like, you... Then you can't... Things can't get behind you. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a camera on the wall. You're the AI in the system. So I think a lot of that, the fear of something sneaking up on you would go away.
And that introduces a new, interesting, the can I trust these people?
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's a fun fear that I don't mind.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's my game of the week. And that's what I've been playing along with Link's Awakening and The Goose Game, which everyone has been talking about.
Everybody's been talking about it. I thought you'd talk about it, but
I'm gonna save it for next week because I haven't finished it yet. I've been playing it slowly with my girlfriend because she actually likes playing it, and she doesn't like a lot of video games. So next week I'll talk about The Goose Game more in depth. We'll also be talking about Man of Medan next week because we're doing something fun this weekend. With a group of my friends, I'm going to get a bunch of people together to play the Man of Medan sequel to Until Dawn, the horror game. Me and my friends got together and literally played Until Dawn and all like did the entire story in one night. And it was fun.
It's good times.
Yeah, it was a good experience from everyone. Everyone was super like excited about doing it again. And while this one's going to be shorter, they like plan for it. It's like 4 to 5 hours, so it's okay, not going to take all better. Night.
Yeah,
that we'll be talking about that next week. We've got plenty of stuff on the horizon, as you can tell. And yeah, that'll be it for this week. Where can they find you, RVZ?
At the Z, T-H-A. Ah, crap. There's no good way. Fuck, I don't even. The Z is silent on Twitter. Oh, my God. We're professionals. We lost it. We were doing so well. They can find me on Twitter at the Z is silent. There's an A instead of an E in the. That's it. Oh, God. Who am I? I'm a professional.
You can find me on Twitter at TMANPlaysGames. You can find our podcast at MakeMeAPodcast. You can always email us at MakeMeAGamerPodcast@gmail.com. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, complaints, feel free to shoot us a line. You can check out my writings at TMANWrites.com. And that's all we've got. Give us a like, a subscribe. Leave reviews for us on iTunes or anywhere. Reviews help get visibility. Anything you can do in that sort of aspect will help us out a bunch. Thank you very much for listening. Harvey Z, take us out.
Double deuces, electric boogaloo. What? Doesn't rhyme. I was like, ew, it rhymes. We're fine. I figured it out.
Double deuces, electric boogalooses.
I like it. We just need a caboose in there somehow now.
Untitled gooses.
Honk.